This is RJ Curcio from Curcio Law Offices. We are the proud sponsors of the Waddle & Sylvie podcast. Curcio Law is a millennial-led personal injury law firm. We are here to assist the seriously injured in need of an attorney. Call Curcio Law at 312-321-1111 for your free case consultation today. And now, enjoy Waddle & Sylvie.
This is Waddle and Sylvie on the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago, WMVP, WSHE, HD2 Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
It's Miller time in Yorkville and Mike and Denise's celebrating the White Sox with a Waddle and Sylvie live broadcast on ESPN Chicago,
the home of the Chicago White Sox.
Summer is here. The summer tour for Waddle and Sylvie, going to the best bars and restaurants all around the Chicagoland area. I played a little one of my favorite games. It's a stressful game.
You're a psycho.
But when you win, it's a thrill.
Is it really a thrill?
It's a thrill. It's
really
like a game. It's like a game show.
You didn't win any money.
No, it's you win for the excitement, for the adrenaline rush. It's called gas tank roulette. It's how far can you take your tank down? Invariably, I get the muscle car guys who will tweet me, "You're ruining your gas line."
Yeah, probably so.
Yeah. Nothing can ruin my RAV4.
I was just going to say, how's your Toyota may not feel as strongly about this as you do.
RAV4.
Yeah.
Strongly bull.
And when you are left stranded on the side of the road, is that a win or a loss?
I actually kind of wimped out a little bit because I had 7 miles left. I got it down to 7, and I had the Waze app up where it showed me the amount of miles left to the bar, and then I was competing against how many miles left on the tank. So, at one point, I had, let's say, 25 miles to the bar, and it said 23 miles left to the tank. And I really then tried to drive efficiently to where I could then get it to where I was in the plus zone.
How do you define driving efficiently?
Where I wasn't driving with a heavier foot.
Okay.
I was driving with less.
Coasting? You're coasting?
Coasting more, and I wasn't going into the mid-80s, into the upper 80s like I normally drive.
Okay.
Down, what were we on, 88?
Well, 88 was the road. Yeah, you get off 88 and you're.
So I was taking it easier. I was driving more in the sweet spot. And I did that, and I managed to do that. And then, so I was in the plus. And then I was going to get to town with maybe 2 miles left with the tank. And I could have chanced it all the way into town here in Yorkville. And there, I think, a Casey's General Store is right next door.
So,
and, man, I haven't been to a Casey's General Store in forever.
The pizza. Get the pizza, right?
Oh, that's the pizza and the donuts.
Yes.
Right. Are you getting gas or are you getting pizza and donuts?
Pizza and donuts.
No gas?
Both.
Okay. Well, he did. So, have you noticed when you're playing that game? I play it so often. I'm in.
You play the game?
I play it all the time.
Really? Oh, it's a big thrill, like, isn't it?
It's been at zero plenty
of times.
With your two young children in the car, do you play the game?
Probably, yeah. Yeah, yeah, I do. It probably happens.
You probably play it, though, when it's more of a home game, right?
I'd say I play it less aggressively when the kids are in the car.
It's horrible.
But if you notice, like, so Waze, when you leave, says 40 miles, you've got 35 to get home. Typically, I can still get home. So typically, that 40 miles on Waze and my 35, I somehow, that 5-mile gap gets, and I can make
That's
it home.
That's what I'm saying. So, that's right.
I think that 2 miles you had, let's say, you had 5 at least, be honest. It always lies to you. It just tries to scare you.
So there's a water park down the road.
Which is closed.
Which
it's
isn't
90
open.
Degrees
I,
out.
Yeah, yeah. That's what
I
wanted to know.
But I don't think it opens until the weekend. I think now's weekend only, isn't it?
Well, Friday's a weekend day.
Not really. Boy, there's a weekend.
I think you always tell everybody, welcome to your weekend. It's Friday.
Well, I say that for the workers, yes. But I think usually, like, it's a Saturday-Sunday thing until the heart of the summer.
I think they should open up the water park at least at 4 o'clock in the afternoon at this time so the kids get out of school.
I love a good water park, too. Do you like a good water slide?
Yes, I do.
So I went to the gas station by the water park. I chickened out. With 7 miles, I stopped the game. It was like, do you know how they say on the game show, do you want to risk all your money?
Nope.
Or do you want to stop? And I kept risking it and playing and doubling it. And then finally I just said, I'm out. And I didn't play for the million. I stopped at like 100,000. I was happy with 100,000.
Is this the riskiest game you play, or are there other risky games that you like to play and you haven't filled us in on?
This is the riskiest. Yeah, I think this is the riskiest game I play.
I just, like, it gives me anxiety to think about running
it's a
out of gas.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, that's the point. But when you win, it's like you're on top of the world.
It's a rush. We didn't play football. We did go over the middle and make the catch and signal first down.
I don't know
anybody. And hand the ball to the official.
I didn't do that either.
Like, you had, when you went over the middle, you risked getting your head knocked off, yes?
At times.
There was risk involved.
Yes.
Okay? But that's the thrill of it. So there's got to be a little risk involved here. It's not all reward. If it was all reward, there would be no fun.
What's the reward, though? I don't get it. What's the reward? That you don't get stranded on the side of the road? That's the reward?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
Well, that's a low bar. Yeah. That's a really low bar, guys.
But like, it's still such a thrill.
I'm going to play this game, and at the end, if I win, I'm not going to get stranded on the side of the road.
Right.
Woo!
Exactly.
Wow.
It's like lighting off fireworks. Like, you either lose a finger or you get a great time.
No, but the actual firework display is your benefit. That's your gift.
It's an internal joy that you get. That is the fireworks.
Yeah, it's like a live video game, if you will. That has
There's no belt involved.
It has an actual consequence of actually being stranded on the side of the road.
No belt involved.
I was going through who I would call, too. Would Waddle be the one who would pick me up? How would we get a gas can? Who would be the person to get me a gas can? And, like, the reason...
You would probably expect me to be the one getting the gas in the gas can and walking it back to your vehicle, wouldn't you?
We know Sylvie's not walking.
No, I would have to.
We know that.
I would have
to. Oh, wow. You really... what a saint.
Real stand-up guy.
What a saint. Wow. Really, really putting yourself through it.
And because it's not a home game, if I was more in my neck of the woods and I knew where the gas stations were, I would have chanced it more, but I didn't know exactly where the next gas station was, so I settled at 7 miles an hour, and I tapped out.
And are you down on yourself for that?
No, I'm okay.
He's okay. It's a sparkler.
Anytime you finish under 10 miles to go, and a lot of people, I get, inevitably, I'll get two tweets. I'll get the tweets from the car guys who say you're screwing your gas line and you're ruining your car. And then I'll get the people who say, Sylvie, the gas tank miles left is BS. You actually have more built in than you think.
Well, why don't you next time?
I'm not pushing zero.
I'm not on zero.
You're not moving.
You're not a true adventurer.
I'm not that dedicated. Like, people say that they've gone to zero and they've pushed zero for several miles.
How quickly do you think you'd be picked up on the side of the road if you were thumb out, hitchhiking, looking for a ride to get some gas?
Well, I think by some people with some bad thoughts.
Really?
Yeah.
You think that?
I think so.
Hey, White Sox fans, Mark Silverman is walking down Route 54 outside of Yorksville. If you want to go pick him up. I would pick you up. You know I'd pick you up.
Sylvie's on the side of the road in a White Sox body bag.
Yeah.
All right. So there was that. And then when we were talking to Jed, I was telling you that, remember, Jeff Passan is the guy who said, while the Cubs could be interested, Shohei may not be interested here.
Right.
That's what he said.
Well, the common thought is that he would want to stay on the West Coast, right?
Right.
That the Dodgers have unlimited resources and would be a very desirable destination for Shohei.
And Jesse was telling me that when he was here playing the White Sox, that do you know after games that he doesn't speak to the media?
I did not know.
The only time he ever speaks to the media is after he pitches. So even when he hits a home run.
Because he's probably required, right? Is he required after a pitch?
I don't know, but like after he hit a home run or before the game when a lot of people want him to speak because he's like, here he is, his only stop in Chicago, you know, and a lot of people want him to be the face of baseball and to speak. He doesn't. And like, if he goes to a city like Chicago where there are greater demands, or even more so, it's maybe why he wouldn't want to play with the Yankees or the Mets.
Because the spotlight is brighter.
That won't fly there. You know what I mean?
So is the spotlight not bright in L.A. for the Dodgers?
Jesse was telling me for sure in Anaheim it's not.
Right.
And he said even that L.A. media is a softer media.
Yeah.
Even in L.A.
I'm not shocked.
And
the whole atmosphere is laid back.
And he just, like, he wants to do his thing. And look, as a Cubs fan, I'd want him to do his thing as long as he's a star. To me, it's always my philosophy with the Belichick or with a guy who wants to be as transparent as possible. If you produce, I really don't care if you win or lose press conferences.
If you follow the trail of, is there a trail of crumbs that would lead you to believe that the Dodgers know that they have the inside track? I mean, did they do anything in the assembling of their team over the last year? Like, they didn't sign Trey Turner.
Right.
Like, they did some other things that maybe, despite the fact that they do have unlimited resources, that maybe a Shohei $500 million deal would be more digestible.
Well, I think anything's digestible for them, too.
Right.
They did sit out this free agent period
right. This
past year more than they normally do. And to your point, they did let Trey Turner walk. And a lot of people read that as, okay, they don't want to pony up $300 million for him, but they're doing so with an eye on, yes, having to spend $500, maybe $600 million on Ohtani.
Right. And Mello, not that these guys were going to be guys' core pieces going forward, but they let the redheaded third baseman go. They let
Justin
Bellinger
Turner.
Go.
The redheaded third baseman.
Like, names escape me.
Justin Turner,
yeah. This age.
I love, though, the redheaded third baseman.
Names are not my strength.
No, me neither. I struggle with it, too.
But both of those guys would have been $10-plus million,
well,
right?
But Turner, I think, was 37 this offseason, so that obviously doesn't fit their MO either because they don't want to invest in guys who are aging at that point. They did sign Mookie Betts to a $300-plus million deal. They did sign Freddie Freeman in the previous offseason for close to $200 million.
Right.
So they'll splash the cash on the right player. But I think guys like Bellinger, Turner, they weren't playing well enough to command big money.
Well, and it probably timing worked for them not to spend money on them. So it kind of, the plan may have unintentionally come together for them to kind of pull back the reins a little bit financially to have Shohei cash available.
And I think to tie it into the Cubs, the question is, is there any amount of money where Shohei Ohtani will leave the West Coast? That's the real question, because if he's willing to leave, you know, Los Angeles or maybe San Diego, they're in the conversations as well, then I think the Cubs could be a player. But a lot of people seem to believe he wants to be on the West Coast. I don't know if it's just because it's closer to Japan, for whatever reason, but everyone seems to believe he wants to play on the West Coast.
Well, yeah, I know, and it's pretty nice out there. Then he'd get the best of both worlds if he would play for the Dodgers after, you know, growing roots with Anaheim. You know
exactly
what I mean?
Yep.
You're basically in the same area, and now you're on a more competitive team with the Dodgers.
Well, a convenient excuse then for our local baseball teams not to go out there.
Well, let's spend on the next guy, you know, or there's nobody like him, though.
Absolutely, but there's no excuse for either team in town not to pursue him. Those, you know, they may be rebuffed.
What do you think about my philosophy about the White Sox going out and getting Theo?
I think it's great.
He's the best free agent out there for the White Sox.
I think it would do a number of things. I think it would clear up. First of all, it's a guy who's been there and done it.
Right, and it's time for their front office. They've had numerous chances. It's time for them to go.
It would clear up the question as, hey, by the way, who's really in charge?
Yeah, right.
Like the ambiguity and the...
The buck stops here.
Yeah, so...
It's pennies on the dollar. Like like I was saying, Benintendi makes $75 million.
Still hasn't hit a home run.
And zero home runs. He has the same amount of home runs as Theo.
And me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but like in comparison with Theo, Think about the impact compared. Like, if you would give Theo $100 million for 5 years, $20 million a year, if you think that's excessive for a president, think about everything he would touch and everything with the minor league system, with the way they would do business with the draft, with the way they would do business with player development, everything that they would do, the culture.
Yeah.
Compare that with Benintendi, one person, an outfielder with zero home runs. Or if you want to do it on a year-to-year basis, Moncada makes $17.5 million per year. If you're paying Theo $20 million compared to Moncada, who's getting paid $17.5 million, think about the impact. It is time for Kenny and Rick to go away. It is time for them to do business differently. You can't make Jerry sell the team, but you can make him hand the baton to somebody to do baseball business differently. Hand it to the best free agent out there.
I don't know that you can make him do anything, but the suggestion is one that I think should land on sympathetic ears for sure. I don't have any delusion that it will happen. But I do believe that it's a good thought. And if you ask yourself, hey, what is the one thing that the Sox could do that could have the most impact immediately and down the road, I would think that if, in fact, Theo was part of the equation, that would answer a lot of questions.
And it's not like a Cubs thing. This isn't a Cubs thing. This is if Andrew Friedman was available and he didn't have a job, I would say go out and hire Andrew Friedman. I'm saying for my Bulls, I'm telling Jerry for my Bulls, go out there and
hire Bob Myers.
Get Bob Myers in a year if AK and Eversley don't turn this around.
Look, I'm a Reds fan, and I would beg to have Theo come in and take over my baseball team's organization.
Yeah. There were, like, I was texting with some people in the media, and they were saying, like, hey, like, Theo may want to buy a team.
Yeah, I think he's got his look, I have no idea. Well, but my speculation would be he's got his sights set higher than being, you know, the guy that's running a team.
But Jesse said he could be open to doing it again. But if he does want to buy a team, maybe that team eventually does become for sale. Maybe he does want it. He knows the city.
Maybe he's waiting patiently.
And he wants to lead that and buy the team. That may not be.
Look, I don't think your premise is outrageous in any way, shape, or form. I think he has proven that when he comes into an organization, things are done differently and in a good way. I don't expect it to happen, but I think it's a great thought. I really do.
I caught a little of this yesterday, Sylvia. I was off, but I caught a little bit of your back and forth bringing this up. And that, listen, I think it's a great idea, but I do think it's an outrageous idea because I don't think – what would it take to lure Theo Epstein – to back to running a franchise and to do so for the White Sox, because he's already tasted success in this city with the Chicago Cubs. Does he really have any interest in going and trying to fix the White Sox, knowing the history of the ownership?
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say, Mellor. My guess is when he got the job in Chicago, he had the assurance from Tom Ricketts that he could do what he needed to do. If in fact Jerry Reinsdorf wouldn't hire him. Unless Theo wouldn't take the job unless he felt he had the same leeway that he had with the Cubs.
Well, you're right, Mellor, that and if you look probably why things ended prematurely in both Boston and with the Cubs, it's because he had fallouts with the owner. Like, I believe he walked away from the Cubs because he wasn't getting exactly what he wanted from Tom Ricketts anymore. And we know the fallout that he had with the ownership group in Boston. He wanted to quit earlier in that reign. Remember when he left in the gorilla suit?
Yeah, I think that too. Like, look, I'm not siding with Tom Ricketts, but like there were some questions that Theo, some tough questions for him to answer.
He's not perfect,
right? I mean,
but a lot of people have said, look, Theo, Eric Gust, who I love, he tweets all the time, big Sox fan. He goes, Theo didn't leave the Cubs in a great situation. True. But would you take a six-year sustained run from 15 to 20?
Absolutely.
For any baseball team and sort of now have this, like...
Three NLCS's appearances and a World Series title? Yes.
It's not just those three. And then in those years, they were always contending to win the division. You know, one year they didn't make the playoffs they made the playoffs every year except one. And what year, I forget which year that was, whether it was 19, I think it was 19. I think they made the postseason then in 18. I think they missed it in 19. They made it in 20, won the division, and then they sold in 21. But that's 6 years. The White Sox have never made back-to-back postseasons. Don't you want a sustained run? He'll do that. Like, he's always from the bottom. His best work is done building a team up.
Keeping it
there has been where he's had his faults. Signing Carl Crawford, signing Jason Hayward, coming up with some of these faults have been his issues, but not building a team from the bottom.
I think resuming his career in that fashion is the least likely of potential scenarios. I think ownership would be more likely, and I think even, like, look, I know it. I don't know when, you know, when what's his face is leaving as commissioner, but like,
yeah,
he's got
his eye on that.
I would think that Theo's got bigger plans than to come in and rebuild the White Sox. But I don't know. I mean, who knows? But he's been there and done that.
Think about
he hasn't owned and he hasn't, you know, been the commissioner. Obviously.
Think about though the resume that you could have. And I know, like, those are big things, commissioner or owning. But if you could do the Red Sox to the Cubs to then the crosstown rival of the Cubs and then do it with the White Sox. Think, like, it's already, the Cubs and the Red Sox are incredible. And then if you could do the same town's rival and do it there. Hey, did it there, and now I'm doing it there.
I think it would be more attractive to him if it was the Yankees versus the White Sox.
But the Yankees always do it. You know what I mean? Like, the Yankees have done it through every generation.
I get it, but I don't think there's the same romance attached to doing it for the White Sox the way that there was attached to the Cubs.
Unless he's romantic about this city now.
Where does he live?
Well, now he's back in Boston.
Well, not too romantic then if he's living in a different town.
He's already sold his house, yeah. It's like he'd have to come back.
He ain't picking you up in the side of the road out here in a random community if you lose your game of gas tank roulette. He's gone. Ah, Theo, can you come pick me up?
Money, Sylvie. Money talks.
Yeah. I got $40 on me. Can you come get me?
No, not for me. I'm talking about if you want to hire him.
Yeah. Well,
ask Monty Williams that.
Well,
you don't want to coach
this year. Yeah.
Money talks.
Yeah, but there's,
everybody's got a price.
There's more money in ownership than there is in management.
Sure.
It would be something for Jerry Reinsdorf's first $100 million contract to be with Theo Epstein.
Yeah.
I think that would be the smartest money he's ever spent.
I agree. You're absolutely right about that. I just don't see it as realistic.
I don't know where I'd put that on the least likely things to happen in Chicago sports, but it would be near the top.
What would be more likely, Theo or Shohei for the White
Shohei.
Sox?
Oh, for the White Sox.
Yes.
I was going to say for the Cubs.
Oh, no. Well, it would definitely be Theo because it would cost less. I mean, come on.
All right, coming up next, could the Bears actually be moving on from Arlington Heights and on to another suburb?
Oh, boy.
There is news today. We will give you that news. Coming up next.
Golfers, I want to tell you about the Southland's finest golf course, the Sanctuary Golf Course in New Lenox. The Sanctuary offers 18 holes of great golf on great course conditions. Just minutes from I-80 and 355, book your tee time at golfsanctuary.com.
Are you with us at Mike and Denise's in Yorkville? Yes, it is indeed Miller time.
Miller time.
You can watch the show on Twitch.tv or the Twitch app. Or keep listening to the ESPN Chicago Triple Play.
AM, FM, and app.
Great to see a lot of our fans out here in Yorkville, Mike and Denise's.
Called it Yorksville earlier. I put an S on it. Does that make me an official Chicagoan?
Yeah,
I put an S on it. But I didn't put an S on the end. I put an S in the middle. Yorksville.
It's like the joke is, I saw one of these old jokes, that we take the S off of Illinois, since we don't pronounce it, and then we put it on the end of most things, like jewels, you know? And we pronounce
Soldiers
it on everything
Field.
Else. Yeah.
Soldiers Field.
Exactly.
I'm hanging out in Yorksville with Sylvie from 2 to 6.
I saw James in Oswego. It's always – James is a big fan. He tweets. He calls. And it's always dangerous, though, when someone comes up to you, he goes, hey, you called me a meathead when I called in. And I'm always like, all right. Like, and I never know if, like, that's
– you're going to catch one across the –
right, if that's said in fun or not. And then I go, well, why? And then he goes, I was the one who called and said, well, after all these Bears and Packers games, they're always hugging. I want the Bears to stop hugging the Packers after they lose. And then Eric looks at him and he goes, that was a meathead comment.
Yeah, that is. By the way, I shook hands with him immediately after I came out of the bathroom and I didn't wash my hands. So I got him for you. No, I'm joking. I did wash my hands. But there were no towels in there. So when I shook his hand, I said, oh, man, I'm so sorry.
You
got
to preface. You got to say, yes, this isn't from going on my hands.
Well, maybe it was, James. I don't know.
This is from.
I am old, so.
This is from.
Possibly.
Washing,
it could have been from washing my hands. Possibly.
Washing, not drying.
Maybe. Well, I had to hold my hands. Well,
there's the hand a dryer.
You could got to stand under that thing for 10 minutes.
Do I have to teach you how to look, I have smaller hands, so it takes me shorter time. But you got to rub your hands underneath there.
Well, I didn't even do that.
Mr. Miyagi.
You know what I did? I wiped my hands on the back of my shorts is what I did.
Not well, apparently.
Well, I did. I mean, it was a lot of water. I was trying to clean up nice. Boy, someone messed up your picture, too, on the door into the bathroom.
Oh, really? Was that you? That was you.
No.
That's your move.
No.
Did you put the mustache and devil horns on there?
I didn't. I did not do anything.
You did it, didn't you? You did it. The Sox fan.
Yeah, the Sox
fan. He did it.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, you
cut I fan. Know a hater when I see him.
Somebody did you wrong, though.
Yeah, that's okay. It's fine.
All right.
Here is the latest on this Arlington Heights thing. So the Bears have started demolition, and just to add a little soap opera nature to this story, according to all the newspapers now, I saw the Daily Herald had this and the Naperville Sun, and the Bears came out with an official statement. Scott Hagel had the statement that Kevin Warren, the president, took a meeting today with the new mayor of Naperville. He's held the office like for just a month, Scott Worley. So they met today in Naperville after the new mayor reached out on May 24th.
It's interesting that the previous mayor of Naperville didn't have the same thought.
Yeah. So a lot of people, including us, believe that this is negotiations. If you haven't kept up, the Bears are not happy with the way the Cook County Assessor's Office is putting their tax assessment for the previous site of Arlington Racetrack.
Right. They bought it for $197 million. It is not a functional entity right now. But I think you said it earlier, the new assessment on the property for this year, and it is a year of reassessment, that it was taxed at almost three times what it was prior, and it was a functioning property at that point.
Right. They want to tax them three times higher than when it was open as a racetrack.
Correct.
And they're saying, look, we're taxing you on what you paid for it. And we're like, it's nothing yet. The Bears don't want to do it. The Bears are trying to negotiate straight with the school district because those are the ones who benefit. So that and right now there's a large gap. I read a story from the Tribune a couple of days ago. So with that ongoing and maybe they're going to Naperville with the hopes that, ooh, we're not their only ball game now. We better now come down in our ask, or we're going to be left with nothing in our backyard. And so they met today. Here's the Bears statement. We will continue the ongoing demolition activity and work towards a path forward in Arlington Heights, but it is no longer our singular focus. It is our responsibility to listen to other municipalities in Chicagoland about potential locations that can deliver on this transformational opportunity for our fans, our club, and the state of Illinois. That is from the Chicago Bears. And remember, Kevin Warren in his introductory press conference, and he said, like, at that time, he would have more things to say in about 6 months, that he said their singular focus at that time was only Arlington Heights.
Right.
When he was asked about Soldier Field. We are only focused on Arlington Heights, and now all of a sudden that has changed now that they're not happy with the tax situation in Arlington Heights, and now they're talking about possible sites in Naperville.
And oh, by the way, the deconstruction of the old Arlington racetrack from the inside is continuing. So they're continuing to knock it down while this is taking place. Look, again, I think that there will be a compromise at some point. I think that, again, this is another example that for years the Bears wouldn't even consider leaving Soldier Field. Now they finally have decided to move on, and now I think you're seeing business done differently and them actually using the leverage that they have, being one of 32 NFL franchises,
yes,
and using it in their favor, something we really haven't seen them do in quite some time.
It's a good would you rather. Would you rather Naperville or would you rather Arlington Heights? And my answer is,
where can you build the biggest amusement facility?
I am not, like, I want whatever's best for the Bears. Like I live up north. I don't care. It's why I wasn't married. I didn't think it was good in Chicago for fans, for the team. They didn't own it. The amenities aren't good. I want what's best for the Bears and its fans.
And by the way,
and if they could do that better in Naperville, I'm fine with that.
You and I were both, we had this conversation with Wilbon on a number of occasions. He wanted them, he said, fine, if you want to leave Soldier Field, but build the same facility downtown Chicago. And I think you and I were on the same page. Look, if you could build Paradise that is being proposed in Arlington Heights in a plot of land in downtown Chicago, I'm all for it. I don't care where you put it.
Right.
It's just got to be a better environment and experience for fans. It's just got to be a better business decision for the team. It's just got to be a better destination than what Soldier Field is right now.
I stayed in that brand new Marriott Marquis right next to McCormick Place, right near Soldier Field, and they really screwed up. Like, if they could have made a new domed retractable
right
roof
there.
Stadium there as part of the new McCormick Place and attach them all with Wintrust or where Wintrust is, instead of a Wintrust place, and then you could have made it accessible for basketball too. It
takes vision.
And, like, you know what I mean? Like, again, like Burnham's initial motto was what? Make no small plans. Make no little plans. Make no small plans. Whatever it was. Like, the city then,
we have the only city made of small plans.
Yes, only made little plans.
Yeah.
Would only, like, if it would have fought and you could have, you had the room at one time where you could have done all of that, but they were only worried about the landmark status, but it wasn't functional.
What is Philadelphia, the city of big shoulders?
No, that's us.
No, we're the Windy City. Are we the
The city of broad shoulders, big shoulders. Yeah,
okay.
That's us.
So we're the
city of city of brotherly love.
Oh, that's right. My bad. So we're the city of broad shoulders and small plans. Right? The best way that we can say about us?
Yeah, right. I mean, they could have done that.
Listen, I come from Porkopolis. That's what they called Cincinnati back several decades, if not centuries ago. So,
Would You Rather, by the way, is brought to you by the Pride Stores. I think, Mallory, should we give away the gift card from the Pride Stores on the phone lines today?
Yeah, I think that's the best way to handle it.
And I've got another Would You Rather, because we didn't ask for any today. 312-332-3776. Caller 10 gets the gift card to the Pride Stores. 312-332-3776. Did you see the guy who wore the Bears jersey on the cruise? It was the Waddle jersey.
No.
The 87. He tweeted this out a couple days ago. One of our fans tweeted it to us. It wasn't the guy who wore the jersey that tweeted it to us. It was a guy who listens to our show who took the picture of him. on the cruise, there was this guy wearing his orange 87 Waddle jersey, which is funny because
I never wore orange.
They never had the orange throwback jersey back in the day.
No. But I was always a fan. I've always been a fan of the orange jersey. I know I'm in the minority there, but I like the orange jersey.
So he went on a cruise, and can you picture, like I tweeted out, can you picture, honey, I'm taking you all on a cruise. Please don't forget, pack my orange Waddle jersey. And it was like how I joked when Cap went on vacation and when he packed the... the green Derrick Rose Bulls jersey. And he was at the pool, out at the pool for the Super Bowl Twitch. Like, would you rather pack a green Derrick Rose jersey for vacation or an orange Bears Waddle jersey for vacation?
Depends on what you're... She's wearing a Waddle jersey.
Yeah. But would you wear an orange Tom Waddle jersey?
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
She's in.
Of course. I think it depends on what your favorite sport is. If you're a basketball person, then you're getting the
Derrick Rose. What would you go with?
Really, vacation means tank season, so I'm going basketball jersey. Wow. But that's really the only reason why.
There you go.
Tank season.
Yeah, you know?
And that's what we're used to around these towns, tanking.
Yeah, well,
ooh,
that's,
look
there we
at
go.
You. Uh-huh. What kind of thing?
Yeah, that's what we do in this town with all our teams. We tank because we suck. That's what we do. We tank.
Miller, what are you going with? Green Derrick Rose or orange Waddle on vacation?
Do you really have to ask that turd?
Oh, thanks, buddy. Thanks.
Well, I think it's going to be reciprocated.
No, I
reciprocated
would not,
here in 10 seconds.
I was going to say I would wear the orange Waddle in
no,
a heartbeat.
You're a liar.
I'm
you're
not.
Such a liar.
I'm giving you an honest answer here, and you are just so cold-hearted here.
Yeah, I am.
You know,
I'm returning the favor.
You know what I'm doing? I'm going to doctor the jersey like Chris Sale. I'm going to take out the scissors. I'm going to shorten it like you did back in Boston College.
The belly jersey?
So I'm going to have a little, for vacation, a little short. And then I'm going to cut the sleeves off.
You should.
So, like, that way
you should put some man boob cups in it, too, so it fits right.
You're just taking all sorts of shots today.
You're taking shots at me.
There wasn't any shot. I picked the orange Waddle jersey. I'm just cutting it up.
Well, don't cut up the jersey. Don't do that.
Well, it's too heavy to wear on a vacation.
Then don't take
it. A football jersey's too heavy. So what I'm telling you is, because back in the day, I did like, in the 80s, I used to wear like those.
The half cut?
The half cut fake football jerseys.
Come on, no, you didn't.
Yes, I did from TJ Maxx. They used
Why?
To sell
Why?
Those. And they
Why?
Were the netted. They were like the netting. They
I've
were
got
good
all,
for summer.
All of my BC practice jerseys were all.
Yeah,
all half. Doug Flutie made that famous.
Yes, that was a style back in the day in like the early 80s when
Such
I was like
a
12.
Horrible style.
It was the half shirt.
Yeah. And you know what happened? Invariably, all the time, you'd get a carpet burn, you'd get a turf burn on your stomach or your lower back. It's so stupid. Just wear a jersey that you could tuck into your pants.
You still getting the carpet burns?
Not usually, no. You know, because I wear the full shirt.
No.
I don't get caught with the half shirts on. Pantless maybe, but no, full shirt.
All right, so that's the latest Bear Stadium. It's
How did
interesting.
We get there?
It's just another turn. This is fun to watch. It is fun to watch.
Yeah, that look.
It's fun.
It's leverage, and I don't blame them for. Again, business is being done differently by the Chicago
this
Bears.
Is,
right now.
This is their Rosemont. I feel. Remember when the Cubs wanted to renovate Wrigley and they threw out Rosemont? I feel like Naperville is their Rosemont.
Look. What they're doing is what every citizen that I know has done over the past 5 years. When you get your tax bill, what do? You appeal it because it's ridiculously inflated. That's all they've done.
Call our attorney, Jeff Hertz.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
That's what we do.
Yes.
Call our buddy Jeff. Right.
Right.
That's
so
our attorney.
When the Bears got the tax bill for Arlington Park, they're calling their tax attorney.
Yes.
They're looking for a rebate because this is way too high.
Coming up next, what to watch for as we head into the weekend. Then we'll talk some hoops. Has Jimmy reached empty in his quest for a title? Jeff Van Gundy will answer that with us at 5 o'clock. We're live at Mike and Denise's in Yorkville. It's not Yorkville's. It's Yorkville. We're drinking ice. We're drinking ice cold Miller Lite on ESPN 1000.
Yeah. All right.
Waddle and Sylvie get you set for your weekend viewing with What to Watch For.
That's right, What to Watch For each and every Friday. Brought to you by Connie's Frozen Pizza.
I got nothing to watch, so I need some suggestions.
I got something
from
you for
guys.
You. I'm still iffy on it if you want me to lead it off.
Yeah, please
I'm looking just to double check to see where I watch it. Car 10 right now to win a free pizza from Connie's Frozen Pizza. 312-332-3776. 312-332-3776. I believe it's Apple TV that I'm watching.
They've had some really good shows.
Yes. And I haven't watched, I've seen so many good things too that people seem to like the finale of Ted Lasso, but I haven't been on that since
year one for
me,
season one.
But that's not where I'm going. Let me see. Yeah, this is where it is. I started Platonic. It's a comedy on Apple TV with our buddy Seth Rogen. So it's about two friends who had a falling out, a man and a woman, who now reconnect and obviously have relationships. And then we'll see where it goes. I don't know where it's going. I'm through one episode, and it's got some possibilities. I'm feeling it out. And I thought I would love it more because of Seth Rogen. And Apple TV usually does great stuff.
Maybe it's just a slow start.
Yes, that's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping that it's going to be really good.
I still am trying. I think my next move now is Succession over and Barry coming to a close. I saw John Wick. The Equalizer movie isn't coming out for a while.
And the writer's strike. You're going to have to start figuring.
Did you see the trailer for Mission Impossible? That one is going to be on my list to watch as well. But I think Bear, I got to go back and see the last three episodes of The Bear. And what was the other one about the road rage?
That I was watching, yes.
I forget that one. That one I got to watch, too.
And that was Netflix. Boy, I forgot the name really quick.
Beef. It's called Beef.
Yeah, I got to go watch that as well.
I watched the third episode of that last night, actually.
Do you like it, Mallard?
So far, so good, yeah. And I'm a big fan of Ali Wong, who stars in that.
Yes, I'm not going to ruin it for you, but
I know you said
through three
down,
episodes,
right?
I loved it.
Yeah.
It's different than everything. It's different than anything out there. I will tell you, Waddle, and I gave this out a couple weeks ago, that I did power through eight episodes of the Pete Davidson show.
Yeah.
It's an incredible cast on Peacock. I will rate that like on a scale of 1 to 10, like a 6.5 if you're desperate. It wasn't over the top great, but it wasn't bad. There were some really good episodes and some really weird episodes in true Pete Davidson fashion.
Okay. I'm in. Listen, I'm going to go with the old sports-a-roo. I don't believe this will be much of a series between the Nuggets and the Heat. We haven't talked much basketball. We'll do that with Jeff Van Gundy here in a few moments. But, this game is obviously key, right? Because if the Heat don't show more life, this thing really could go just four games.
Yeah, of course.
So I think this game is obviously pivotal, and we'll see what happens. But, I didn't really enjoy the first game of this one. This one was a blowout last night as well.
I thought they would cover and they didn't.
Yeah. So game two Sunday night 7 p.m.
What do you got, Mallard?
Eat at the Nuggets.
All right. Well, with Succession ending, we need our new HBO series, and it starts this Sunday called The Idol. Starring Lily Rose Depp, the daughter of Johnny Depp, and The Weeknd. It is created by The Weeknd and Sam Levinson, who...
A lot of kinky sex, as Eric and I were reading.
There you go. Sam Levinson, the creator of Euphoria. So if you enjoy Euphoria, as I do, you're probably intrigued by this. So The Idol, it starts this Sunday at 8 o'clock on HBO. So I will be checking that out.
The Idol. And that was actually the same one I had, Jeff, and like all like Rolling Stone, Variety, all these that have reviewed it, said it's like over the top drug use, ridiculous like sex scenes. It's like cult in. Stuff involved.
In.
So like,
wow.
It's supposed to be a lot.
In.
Huh?
In, he said.
In and out. In and out. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Jeffrey. Jeffrey.
That's
Jeffrey.
Mallory's back at the shop. That's Eric Ostrowski, who's in with us at Mike and Denise's. We met the mayor, by the way, of Yorkville.
Yeah.
He gave us a scolding about pronouncing the town right, too.
It was my fault. It's kind of a Chicago
You blamed
thing.
Me.
Well, if all else fails, point the finger at somebody else.
One of our favorite guests, Jeff Van Gundy, on the call of the NBA Finals, joins us coming up next.
Yeah. All right.